talk about an important and often not addressed point when it comes to people working with you or for you or for themselves and with you. I guess there's a lot of different terms that you could use. And I also want to say that aside from the fact that they might be contractors that are working for you or they might be employees that are working for you, how you onboard them and then how you treat them and how you nourish them will determine how they feel, whether they feel a part of the organization, whether they feel like they're learning from you, whether they feel like you understand some of their basic human needs, whether you help them, whether you don't, all that kind of stuff. Because obviously, now this comes from, I just got a question from an old client of mine in regards to, have I done a lot of stuff with staff members, team building, and kind of helping them feel like they're a part of the place. She was thinking of, her words, going to employ people as employees rather than having them as contractors, because she thought that that would make the difference. And while I haven't spoken to her about it, we've had a few text messages back and forward about it, and I will speak to her. But what I wanted to clear up with everybody is I don't think it matters technically whether you onboard people as an employee or a contractor, obviously apart from tax implications. And don't quote me on this, but around 2016, it might have been 2015 or 14, give or take a year or two either side, the tax implications for superannuation and tax were very similar, if not the same, whether you onboarded somebody as a contractor or an employee to help you in your personal training business. That's what I remember. But check with your accountant, and at times of listening to this, and definitely check with the accountant that you use in your country, because I'm in Australia and all the rules are different. Now, aside from that point, do you want things to think about, I think, or do you want somebody that's new and fresh and just actually has the right opinion and, sorry, the right opinion, the right attitude, more importantly. You want somebody, I would say, that has the right attitude, regardless of their amount of experience. There can be people that are very experienced that don't need a lot of training with regards to technical skills and how to squat, how to lift anything. But there are people that are very beginners, but they still do have a fantastic attitude, and they're very willing to work the early mornings, the late nights, and they're also willing to learn. I think it's really important, and sometimes bits are missed in terms of meetings that we have with people. I think that it's important to have meetings with the people that work with you, so that you stay on top of the goals that they actually like to achieve in their life. And I mean things that are outside the realm of what they want to learn with the human body, because maybe they don't have the same fascination, drive, or ambition to go down the same path as you. That doesn't necessarily mean that they're a bad trainer or that there's something wrong with them. It means that you need to understand that particular staff member, because all humans have the urge to feel understood if you want that person to stay with you. Now, I think that that's a meeting in itself, as in a, you know, personal life goals meeting, and helping them reach towards whatever those things are, or helping them to understand that whatever you're doing with your work with them can help them to reach their goals, and then helping them, I don't know, to help them perhaps to, within your network of humans, help them reach their goals, whether it's to play a musical instrument, whether it's to get a local gig at a band, whether it's to get a job with a sporting team, whether it's to just be a better parent, whether it's to further their education into nutrition. Like, each person has their own individual goals, just like you have yours. But to expect that, whether they're an employee or a contractor, to expect that they are going to, once they work with you or for you, that they are going to automatically understand and help you drive towards your business goals is just, I guess, like having any other relationship and expecting the other person or a thing in the relationship to understand and help you to achieve your goals, when they're probably not going to understand what your goals were or what it is that you'd like to achieve, and nor are they going to be able to help you to get it if they're in a relationship with you and you're not communicating about it. And every relationship's give and take, right? So I've had contractors working with me since I think I was either 22 or 23. Now, that's 20 years ago because I just turned 43. And the first set of contractors that I had were in a massage clinic that I purchased. Didn't know how to massage at the time, so I had to go and learn that. But I ran the clinic and marketed for it, got them clients. Now, obviously, I couldn't teach them how to massage. They were more qualified than me, but it's funny. In the hiring of one of them anyway, I got them to massage me, which she said was like the weirdest interview she'd ever done. I said, well, I want you to be good, obviously. And she was good anyway. She was studying to be a physiotherapist. Beside the point, as I brought, and that was two, and then a couple of months later, I had a third one in a different location. Now, my whole MO and the way I do things is I love teaching. So while a side effect of having more staff or contractors, whatever you want to call them, is that you don't have to do all the work yourself, for me, the joy that I seemed to extract from it was that I got my own rocks off by teaching more and other things. And I also, I loved then seeing that that person or that contractor actually got great results with the said client based on the things that I taught them, right? And then they developed their own skill set as well at the same time. But it makes practical sense that if you're not already helping your clients, I mean helping your contractors or your staff, that you must have some kind of technical upskilling meeting where you're helping them to get better at their craft, get better at the craft that you're very good at, whether it's on a topic of here's how we communicate with the clients, here's how we onboard the clients, here's how we greet the clients, and if it's the first time in their session, here's how we rub the shoulder when they say that they've got the pain in this area. It doesn't really matter what your expertise is, but it's very, very important to teach these people, I think personally, to be as good as you at their craft. If not, ideally, get them better than you. And yes, you can fill them up. And do you pay them for their time in this meeting? I don't know. It's six of one, half a dozen of another. I think there are reasons to do both. I would always incentivize them by buying food, to be honest, at the meeting often. I don't remember them actually charging me for that time because it was seen as a free upskill lesson, to be honest. So you don't want to have to have the content. Think of it this way. Don't have the content of the meeting so dry, laborious and boring and, oh my God, I'd rather slit my eyes than being there. Don't have the content that horrible that they don't want to attend. So if the content is based around either upskilling and educating them to help them with their clients that they've got and or do the thing practically on them or they do the thing practically on you and then that's how you take them forward or give them feedback, or have it centered around themselves as a person, their goals, what they want out of their life, which is can possibly sometimes have nothing to do with the health, fitness and stuff that you're interested in. A shock horror, I know. I was always shocked when it didn't. But it didn't matter because this is what I've noticed like in the back half of my career, because there were less gaps in terms of the amount of times that I communicated with them, I didn't have things happen like in the first half of my career, which would be that they would leave, for example, because they literally couldn't afford to be paid what I was paying them. In one lady's case, for example, she was great, except what I didn't ask about in the first place when I first onboarded her was I didn't ask about her financial situation. I didn't ask what she needed to earn. I didn't ask her about her goals with all that stuff. Had I asked, I would have found out that she was actually paying a mortgage and that prior to seeing me, she'd been working at Fernwood and they were paying her $7 for a half an hour session that she was doing. Each half an hour session, she was getting paid $7. So she'd already almost made herself get into debt in the last 3 to 6 months. I can't remember the time period that she'd been working for this other organization. And so by the time she got to me, she really wanted to learn, but on the payment scheme she was on with me, there's no way she could have survived for 3 months and paid her mortgage at the same time. But if I'd have known that in the initial stages, I never would have onboarded her. So I would have saved both her and I and the clients that she had a little bit of angst, because there wouldn't have been as much to-ing and throwing of, oh, now you've got this trainer, oh, now you don't, now I've got to find somebody else. So at the, for the most part, the most trainers that I've had on board in big box gyms and in various other locations has been four at a time. So I'm saying this from, you know, I haven't had 10 or 20 people that I've needed to run through information all at once, unless they're personal trainers that have been doing a course with me. From that, those, from that perspective, I've had anywhere up to 15 of them in a room, like they've been paying me privately, and also, you know, 30, 40, 50 in some of the personal training schools, for example. When I taught certificate 2, 3, and 4 in fitness, that is totally different though. We have to do the curriculum. When you're running your own business and you really want to upskill people, they're the two main things that I'd say you must make sure you hit on. What are the person's personal life goals, and how are you going to help them achieve that? Even if it's got nothing to do with fitness, it's irrelevant. And also, how are you going to help them technically upgrade their skills? Either do the thing to them, get them to do it to you, and then progress from there, because then you will know, right? And you really need to break down every part of the client experience and teach it bit at a time without it being so dry, because it needs to be expected, I guess, that that person will learn the stuff and then eventually leave. And if they do, it's okay, because you know what? There is enough work, there are enough clients, there's enough of all of this for everybody. When you come from that place, honestly, most of the time they don't leave. They won't leave, and you can stay on good terms for as long as possible, I guess. It should be no surprise when people leave, put it that way. You should be able to wish them all the best, because you know that they're leaving. It's like any client. You see your clients on a regular basis. If they are in some kind of agreement with you and they're committed for a certain amount of time, for example, so let's say, you know, you're both working on a 12-week framework or something, you know that they might leave at the end of 12 weeks. They know they might leave at the end of 12 weeks. Now, we all know they usually renew and they keep going, but if it's not a conversation that's brought up regularly, then all of a sudden, yeah, you're surprised that the person left. But if you bring it up regularly, then you don't need to be surprised. And why would staff or contractors be any different? I don't think that you can say, well, I need some experienced people because then I don't have to train them, or I need some inexperienced people because then I have to train them. I think that both works. It depends on the modality that you want to follow. I always went with the least experienced people because maybe I'm a control freak, but I really wanted to embed them in my way of doing things rather than making them. I found that the more experienced ones kind of had to unlearn stuff. And I really wanted them to do things with the movement and the body and the nutrition and stuff. I wanted them to be little mini replicas of me with their own take on things and their own personality and their own passion. So for me, that worked the best. But I also have clients and friends that do things the other way around, and they just hire more experienced coaches, but they still do have meetings with them to make sure the longevity of the relationship lasts, and that there are no surprises, because everybody needs to be on the same page. And they do need to somehow be rewarded, either financially. I think emotionally is better. So if they can get something out of the meeting for coming to the meeting, and then even if it's just your one-on-one time, to be honest. Otherwise, it's like any kind of relationship. If you don't put time and effort and energy into it, it won't be there soon. Just like anything, you know, put some energy and love into your people, regardless of what it is that they signed at the beginning. It's, you have to be re-signing them almost virtually every week or every fortnight or every however often, but help them get better at their craft. Let's lift the standard for everybody doing this thing. Let me know if you've got any questions. Everything that I have to offer is on the front page of my website, katemartinmentor.com. Talk to you soon.